You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Atamarie, ite whānau, kei te whakarongo mai nei ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're on the 95BFM breakfast show. We've got a familiar voice in the studio, Latea Tuebrulevu, who is our resident viewmaster, but here today in her capacity as a director. Kia ora, Latea, how are you?
Kia ora.
You're freaking out and not falling off the stool.
In my brain, I thought there was another song.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, she's like soft launching the interview.
No. We're on, the mics are on. Morning. And we've also got Ashley in the studio. Kia ora, Ashley. How are you?
Kia ora, I'm good, thank you.
Really great to have you both in here to talk about K-Polly's, which is a fantastic mini doc that's been made for the spin-off, which you've directed, Latea, which you're in, Ashley.
Yeah.
I've got so many questions about this. It's such a fantastic documentary, but I'm going to start with a really basic one for you, Ashley, which is K-pop and K-pop fans. Culture. Give us a little pocket insight into it. What is K-pop all about?
Cool. So K-pop is Korean popular music. So it's music that comes out of South Korea. It hit New Zealand shores like vastly in 2009.
Yep.
And then from there on, it's just been getting amazing pockets of like artists like Psy and BTS and Blackpink, who've just really made this Hallyu wave that we call it surge onto the shores of New Zealand, and
wow,
then just created a nice little space for people who feel like they can connect with that or feel disconnected from their cultures to come together and just enjoy something all together.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. And K-pop, like, fan culture is massive globally. There's lots of different pockets of it around the world. And there's something really specific that this documentary is talking about. I mean, it's in the name, K-Polly's. Latea, how did you kind of get into this story? What was your relationship here?
Well, my brothers actually in Fiji were into K-pop and also like Japanese popular culture back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. So it's sort of been something I've always been curious about. I was like, why do a lot of, you know, islanders, both in the islands and then just within friend groups here in Aotearoa, I'm like, this is something really interesting, like a kind of an unexpected cross-cultural dynamic.
Totally.
And I just think, you know, through storytelling and being interested in Pacific stories and contemporary Pacific stories, when the spin-off approached me about, you know, potentially pitching an idea, I was like, well, actually, I do have something, because I was in Fiji at the time and they were having their K-pop festival.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, actually, I think there's something, a really interesting story here that's, I think people will find a little bit surprising and unexpected.
Totally. Yeah. Ashley, how did you get into K-pop? What was your kind of first foray into that space?
That's actually quite funny, because I started off in J-pop. So
true.
So I'm a massive anime manga head. And I was on YouTube.
Nice.
And it suggested this like video on the side that was also colourful and playful. I'm like, oh, what's this? And I clicked it. And then I noticed that the language was different to Japanese. I'm like, oh, what am I listening to? Plug, it was Girls' Generation G. and then from that point onwards, I kind of just fell into the rabbit hole, because I was just like, oh, this one's cool. And then it had like a guy in it, and I thought it was super fine. So I was like, okay, let's follow that group.
A classic way to find a band obsession, eh?
Yeah, just
have them a crush. Why not?
Yeah, and then I found Shiny, and then it was over. Like, my whole music genre changed. I started listening to more K-pop. I started watching K-dramas. Learning the language as well was really important to like the generation I come from.
That's awesome.
So it was just like, it was a very happily found rabbit hole.
That sounds like such a joyful rabbit hole to get sucked into, for sure. But I think something that's really interesting for people who aren't super initiated in like this type of fan culture is something that you've pointed out there, that it's not just like, oh, I like this band and I like their songs or whatever. It is quite like stepping into a totally different world. There's like language that is super, obviously super important, but also there's like structures of how those bands are created. There's dance that goes with it. It's much more like comprehensive as a space than maybe other music genres people are used to kind of having a fan relationship to. What was some interesting stuff that you kind of discovered when you were looking into this, Latea, as a kind of cultural subset we've got here in Aotearoa?
I think it was yeah, the sort of the sense of community I found really beautiful. Like you said, there is like a really comprehensive infrastructure within the K-pop world and the fans. And I think for what I found interesting with Pacific youth is what really attracts them to this genre, and it's particularly over a long period of time. And it's more than just the songs and the dance and listening to it by themselves or on their computer or phone. It's the community that it brings them into, and just how like loving and supportive everyone is of each other and allowing them to express themselves authentically. And one thing that we do highlight in the doc is that sometimes that cultural tension of what it means to be a Pacific young person in Aotearoa today, and sometimes when your sense of expression and identity butts up against, I think, traditional expectations of how you're meant to be and look and sound and act, and what the conflict that can be created from that. So K-pop being a place where I think a lot of young people, and Pacific young people, feel very supported and kind of can escape into and have fun in as well.
You were nodding quite like confirmingly to that, Ashley. Is that kind of reflective of your experience, would you say?
Yeah, very much. I think a lot of the Pacific youth that I've met through K-pop, a lot of us talk about how we don't have a home within our own culture or like our ways that we want to express ourselves don't necessarily fall into the boxes that are like openly accepted within our spaces.
Right.
So when we found K-pop, it really just allowed us to kind of navigate who we are as an individual, while also like just having a support system around you. That's not saying like Pacific, like all Pacific families are like that. I know that like we've got some amazing parents out there in the K-pop community that show up for us.
Nice.
Over plugging your mom. But you know, there are also youth out there that unfortunately they don't have that. So like parents like Boba's mum become our parents, and they become the role models that, like, you know, younger us needed as we moved through a really unknown space of trying to figure out who we are, and like also moving into adulthood as well. What does that look like? So that was why I was like, yes, work, period.
Yeah, hard. And I mean, obviously people should absolutely watch this because the documentary, you know, illustrates a lot of the way you guys actually show up in community with each other. But you know, you discovered this through the internet. A lot of this globally exists online. So how do you guys actually show up in real life with, like, your K-pop community?
Events are our big thing. So when I first joined the K-pop community there, we had, like, leaders for different cities. So that's how we used to get events done, was that they would put up an event and then we'd go along and join it. Because back then, the NZ K-pop fans page, which is now huge, was only 2 digits when I joined.
Totally.
So it was like it was very niche back then, so we were still really building the community and trying to find out who likes and convincing people to come out of the their homes and meet other people. So it's very much, events are so important to our community because it allows us to just meet and mix and mingle, and then just making sure our events are like diverse as well. So in K-pop we have different generations. So that's always interesting because you've got like Gen 2s who are like from 2009 to 2013. That's like the bandwidth for them. Like they're starting to drop off. They're coming back now because they should be. And then you've got like, we're in Generation 5 now for K-pop. So it's like you've got 3 and 4 in there.
Oh, wow.
It's like the change inside of the industry itself has also like reflected in the music and the fan bases and how they show up for spaces. So right now dance is massive.
Yes.
But back when I started joining K-pop, going to karaoke was massive. So that was, so it's like you have different event niches now for each generation, which
that's
is
really so interesting.
Cool.
So that's why you were saying that for your generation, like learning the language is important.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you're going to go to karaoke.
Yeah, we've got to be able to read it. And it was like one of the coolest things when you sat down, you're like, I can read this without the romanization.
Yeah.
Got it. And everyone's
that's
like,
so cool.
Whoa, that's so cool. And you're just like, oh, it's okay, it's nothing.
Yeah. I've only been practicing really hard.
Yeah.
It's such an awesome window into this world, and really beautifully created as well, Latia. Who were some of the other people on the team around you that you worked with for this?
Oh, an amazing team. So Alicia Thorne, producer extraordinaire, trusted with my life. Daryl Wong was on the camera, and beautiful imagery, great camera team, and then like Jin, Sophie, Amber, all at Hex Works at the spinoff, and Josh Yong, who's like amazing editor, and just a whole lot of people who helped out, and crew. I can never have enough time to thank everyone, but yeah, just so amazing to work with. And all the wonderful talent like Ashley and Boba and Mavis and Ethan, who everyone will get to meet in yes. the documentary.
Yeah. Well, I really recommend people check it out. We'll put the link in the podcast, but you can thank also you. Find it over on the spin-off. It's called K-Polly's. Latia, Ashley, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about the project and about the world of K-pop in Aotearoa at the moment. Have a really nice rest of your mornings.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.